You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
Developed market bonds are behaving, well, not badly, that's the wrong word, but in some cases erratically, and different durations are in sharp focus for investors, particularly in the United States. But what about South Africa? With me is Ruan Naidu, portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. Is it too fanciful for me to say, Ruan, that compared to developed market peers, certain developed market peer markets anyway, that the South African bond market is almost like a safe haven and has been since early April?
Good day, Lindsay. That's quite correct, actually. Developed market bonds have come under considerable pressure in recent weeks, and particularly at the long end of the curve. And I think the stress here has been driven by mounting concerns over fiscal deficits and rising debt burdens. Both France and the UK, as well as Japan, have been grappling with budgetary strains. And in Japan, you know, you kind of see a bank that is behind the curve on inflation. And as you point out, the US has not escaped this sharp steepening in the yield curves and selling off. And that has largely reflected worries about the Federal Reserve independence, as well as legal challenges surrounding tariff policy. And you're quite right. In contrast, South African government bonds have been notably resilient. You know, the long end of our yield curve has outperformed the developed market counterparts. And that's really been supported by, I think, our country's commitment to very orthodox economic policy.
Yes, I saw that in the note that you sent me, orthodox in terms of the actions of the Treasury and the South African Reserve Bank, or just the Reserve Bank. Tell us more, please.
It is a combination of both monetary policy and fiscal policy. The South African Reserve Bank has long been regarded as fiercely independent, targeting inflation, and committed to bringing inflation expectations down over the long run in a very orthodox monetary policy fashion. Most recently, the Reserve Bank has made a decision to start focusing on the lower end of our inflation target band. In 2017, they moved from focusing on the top end of the band to 4.5. And this year, they've moved from 4.5 all the way down to focusing on a 3% inflation target, so to speak. At the same time, if you look at our national treasury, we've had successive years of a commitment to fiscal consolidation, trying to get our debt to GDP down over time by generating primary surpluses within our budget. And this recent interaction between National Treasury and the Reserve Bank, coming up with a joint statement last week speaking about a move to a lower target over time, has also bolstered investor confidence.
Very good. There is a vulnerability, of course, and the vulnerability comes from many quarters. It can be political. I mean, we had all the optimism of the government of national unity, and then a few cracks started to appear, and that became apparent in the performance of bonds and also equities. And there's also the rand, of course. The rand has been stoic. It's been very strong, certainly against the US dollar, but that's mainly, I think, because of dollar weakness. But that can change. And a run on the rand can mean a run on the bond market, Ruan.
Yeah, this is quite right. Like, for example, within our diversified income fund, we typically do use dollar rand as a hedge for our government bond duration in South Africa. What we found ourselves doing over the course of this year is actually migrating some of that exposure to non-US domiciles. So we have been purchasing euro dollars, for example, as a more appropriate hedge for risk-off situation in South Africa. And that's largely been because of the bear market that we've seen in the dollar. There's been concerns about the end of U.S. exceptionalism, but I think more importantly, it has been the deterioration of the institutional integrity in the United States that has taken all the shine off the dollar. So yes, South African bond markets will remain susceptible to sell-offs in the currency. But, you know, as we sit here with precious metals rallying quite aggressively, with the oil price coming off, terms of trade is actually in the favor of South Africa. And moving to a lower inflation target over time improves the purchasing power of South African rands and does add a bit to the currency over time as well. So we think there are interesting supports for dollar rand at this point, or the rand in general. And that has led to some adjustments in portfolio construction.
It's very interesting. You talk about, you actually use the word integrity when it comes to the United States of America and the august institutions of, for example, the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and maybe next is the people that collate the inflation data. Who knows what the administration in the White House will target next? I don't see that going away personally, Ruan. So the dollar's, to me, not going to embark on any period of strength quite soon.
No, I don't think so. You could get sort of sharp pullbacks in the dollar more broadly against other currencies, but I would put that down to short-term position squaring. I think right now it is quite consensus to have bearish dollar trades, and sometimes, you know, those positions get a bit overcrowded and there's a short-term washout. But I would look for those as opportunities to re-engage in bearish dollar trades. I think the Rubicon was really crossed when the president attempted to fire Governor Lisa Cook. Yes. On the back of potential mortgage fraud. I think that really did shake markets, and it certainly did shake my perception of the institutional integrity in the United States.
Okay, so just to summarize the developed market situation, well, the ones that we've spoken about, we've got France losing another prime minister. I think that's the fourth in a very short space of time. Anyway, Japan has lost a prime minister. The United States awaiting keenly the US Federal Reserve decision. I think it's on September the 17th. And so there's a lot of turmoil overseas. But meanwhile, as we pre-record this podcast, the 10-year South African bond is around about 9.50, and it was 5 months ago, Ruan, that it was just above 11%. What a performance.
Yes, it has been a phenomenal performance in the South African government bond market. I mean, if we look at post-Liberation Day moves, the R2035 bond, the 10-year bond in South Africa, has fallen in yield by over 150 basis points over that period, which is just incredible. Over that same period, United States 10-year bonds have actually risen in yield. Same for Germany, same for the UK, same for Japan, where 10-year bonds have risen by 38 basis points. And if you look out to the 30-year sector, Japanese yields have actually risen by 98 points. Versus South African bonds going in the opposite direction, which is simply incredible for a bond investor to witness.
How does that affect your positioning for the diversified income fund? What's your strategy at the moment? How are you positioned, please?
Yes, so we have been quite constructive on South African government bonds over the course of this year, and we remain so right here. We think that the curve still has room to flatten. There's still an excessive amount of risk premium at the long end of our yield curve. And while we might be susceptible to short-term steepening in developed markets, we will hedge for that from time to time when those risks present themselves. But we do think with our yield curve sitting at a spread of about 250 points between our 30-year and a 10-year is simply the steepest curve on planet Earth and bakes in a tremendous amount of risk premium that we think will come out over time as the South African government bond market is given the benefit of the conservative policy that we have in both the fiscal and monetary space.
Ruan, thanks so much for your time. Ruan Naidu is a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them
in perpetuity.